Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Thursday edition. The closed practice edition.
Some top secret things going on at practice today, so I decided maybe I shouldn't do the radio program from there. Edition.
Or maybe it was because of my late night outside my basement.
Edition. Also, the day two of me, two dogs, six cats, four hamsters, and an aquarium full of fish, trying to survive without Paula and the girls, edition
of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com.
And the Wisconsin On Demand app.
Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson.
What is this? 4 days in a row?
You got to be off tomorrow, right?
Don't hold your breath.
Not really 4 days.
He did leave to play golf. It's fair.
I do have my big annual review today, so the YouTube commenters may get their wish if I don't come on the show tomorrow.
All right. Well, we hope you're still employed because you are an important piece of this program. Jesse's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, which I can disclose is not the sideline at UW-Platteville for Badgers football practice, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm happy to be back. It was fun to be in Platteville. It was fun to do that. It's just a lot more stuff going on.
Not easy, is it?
I'm not acting like it's, I'm splitting the atom here like you do when you're down at the Packers sideline.
No one's suggesting anyone's splitting the atom.
Yeah, you
but it's a hell
did,
of a lot harder
not
than
easy,
being in
is
your
it?
House.
There's more stuff going on. There's more distractions.
Some might say that makes it harder to do a radio show, not you.
Yeah, I know, but you're acting as if it's...
not acting like anything.
Running a marathon here or something.
Not at all.
So I had
nice
a great
hoodie.
Morning.
Was it's a up, good color.
Up 5 a.m. I literally just got off the fishing boat, sprinted home. We do our annual. I take Max out with one of his good buddies.
And
we go musky fishing
later.
Out on Wabisa with my boy Clussy.
Oh, yeah, Clussy.
Our good friend Clussy. And the boys had a morning now. The boys had a morning. I'm trying to think how big. 45.5-inch tiger muskie. Knox caught. And Max caught a couple of big old northern pike. And so just a real fun morning. To see the kids have their enjoyment, that was a lot of fun for me this morning.
Catch and release?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You don't eat muskie. Although I had a guy tell me last night that smoked carp is better than smoked salmon, and I immediately said, I'm not taking another thing you say about fishing seriously after he told me.
I said, that done. Was not Clussy.
I can't listen to
that.
That
was somebody else.
No. Clussy is, again,
Babe
I've
Winkleman.
Told you, if you're poop, if you're combining fishing and golfing, Joe Pavelski and Kluss would be the two people that I would put in, that I'd want on my squad.
Top of the power rankings, if you will.
Yes.
So you were on Lake Wabisa from when to when?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you which lakes because we're not giving away any tricks.
You just said Wabisa.
You literally said it.
Okay, well, I'm pulling back. I'm not giving that info out.
Lake to be named later. An undisclosed lake.
Not giving away any lakes that we're catching muskie on. I'm not giving any info.
Is it free advertising if you name the lake?
Yes. I don't want anybody finding a honey hole, boys. That's what I don't want, the honey hole being given up.
I don't like that term at all.
You think you're the only one that knows where the honey hole is?
Jason, what do you think? Do you know where the honey hole is?
No, I do not. So you were on this lake to be named later or never be named, even though you
unnamed
named it already.
Yep. I think I screwed that up.
Yeah, sounds like it. And so you were out for what, like 3.5 hours? Like, I don't know how could turn this around.
We were on the boat at 5, and then we fished till 8:35, and then
you pushed it, didn't you?
Sprinted home. Yeah.
Yeah, you pushed it. So, we're glad that you're here. So what did you catch?
So I stayed back. I was just the photog today. I was the photographer.
Sarah didn't want to get up that early.
Sarah was not interested in getting up crack early this morning to do it. No, there we go. So I did not catch anything. I have never caught a muskie. I've caught a bunch of northern with Clussy. We catch, you know, a bunch of panfish and things of that nature, but this was not about me this morning.
So as our friend Danny Kelly, who once saved your life, just pointed out in a text message to us, it is our birthday today. Our anniversary, Wildy and Tausch 8th birthday on August 8th. So this is congratulations. Aaron Rodgers said we wouldn't make it a year, and here we are 8 years in, starting our 9th year now tomorrow. I
give A-Rod credit. He's. I did not think he'd still be playing as we were doing the show when he was our inaugural guest. I thought his career would be, and we'd still be rolling. We're both still rolling.
If you had to bet on August 8th, 2016, who would make it longer, Aaron Rodgers in the NFL or Wildy and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, which one would you have taken?
It's a great question, Jesse.
Yeah, again, this is what makes this show great. I would have expected both of us to still be going at this point. That's what I would have said.
You still thought A-Rod would be playing into
41, I thought he would play
42.
Into his 40s. I thought he's 40 right now, and I, much like his predecessor, it's easy to talk about how, no, I'm not going to do this forever. There was a time where he was like, you know, 35, 36, you won't see me, I'll be gone. He's going to be a documentary filmmaker and whatever else. And then I understand the league retires you most of the time, but if the league isn't retiring you, it's hard. Ask Tom Brady. I bet Tom Brady still wakes up days and wishes he was playing. So I never thought Rodgers would call it quits early. He once said he wanted to then play into his 40s, and he's into his 40s. We'll see how far into his 40s he goes.
And then they drafted Jordan Love and said, and you're not playing into your 40s, not
at least
with the
J&J. Right, exactly. Although, still think if he'd have handled things differently in 2022, we might be having that conversation that he's still the quarterback. Be that as it may, it is our 8th birthday. We will celebrate that with, well, basically nothing, just the same show that we normally would do on a Thursday.
Evan's coming on.
I was hoping that there was going to be like this cavalcade of celebrity guests from over the years. Like today would have been a great day to have Christian Laettner, who once appeared on our show, on because he is an expert muskie fisherman. He may not be Clussy.
Oh, is he a muskie guy?
Yeah, I didn't know that. You were there. You were here that day. We talked about it with him.
I wasn't here. You were here, and I knew that.
He is, I'll say this, Leitner might be one hit the most legendary shot of all time. He ain't holding Klussy's jock when it comes to fishing, okay? He's not.
He didn't hit the most legendary shot of all time.
Christian Leitner? I believe in college basketball history, he did. There's Michael Jordan's jumper against Utah.
Yep.
And against the Cavaliers. Uh-huh. The most famous shot ever is
Grant Hill to Christian Leitner, turn around to beat Kentucky. There's nothing better ever.
Chris Jenkins of Villanova hit a three at the buzzer to win the national championship.
Yeah, not the same.
Nobody knows who Chris Jenkins is, dude.
How is Chris that Jenkins a better brother. Shot than Christian Leitner?
Chris Jenkins is the defensive tackle for the Carolina Panthers. I ain't interested in the Villanova championship.
He won the national championship game. He hit the shot.
What team was more legendary? Whoa, whoa. What team is more legendary and known? Villanova's Chris Jenkins, who's the only Villanova guy that doesn't play for the New York Knickerbockers, or Christian Leitner, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, Cherokee Parks? Like, come on, dude.
He won the championship game with a buzzer-beating three.
Jesse, the iconic image of that game is not him hitting the three. It's how calm the coach, whose name is escaping me at the moment for Villanova, now he's on TV, he's got great hair, Jay Wright, how he doesn't even react. He like has his arms crossed. They win the title, and he kind of walks over to start shaking hands. With Roy Williams, if I recall. They beat Carolina in that game, right?
They did, yeah.
That's it. Chris Jenkins, I'm impressed you know his name because I don't think most people do. But when it comes to iconic college basketball shots, the other one is whichever Drew that was that hit that three to win an NCAA tournament game, which was like to go to the Sweet 16. Bryce Drew makes it. Well, it's kind of this little handoff at the buzzer. There are iconic shots.
Guys,
you're just wrong.
A lot of times we can sit here and debate things. The GOAT of basketball, the GOAT of gymnastics.
I don't think anybody debates either of those things, by the way.
There is no debating that the Christian Leitner shot is the greatest shot in the history of college basketball. There's none. Okay?
No way.
There's nothing even sniffing that play. It's one of the most iconic plays in the history of sport.
Why?
Not just college basketball.
It was the Elite
Eight.
Come
on.
Why? It wasn't nearly the stakes of winning a title.
It got you to the Final Four.
It required a three-quarter court
baseball pass.
Because
they won the chip. They won the championship, too. It's against the Blue Blood Kentucky at the Spectrum, which the place doesn't even exist anymore. The team was just had won the national championship the year before. I hate Duke. I don't like Coach K, and I'm telling you that this
Villanova
is the deal.
Villanova was part of back-to-back titles when they hit the game winner at the buzzer.
Nobody cares.
It was a clutch shot. It's not an iconic shot. It's just Jesse, the world did start before you started paying attention to it, and that is the shot. It just is. It just is.
I could make the argument the world just kept paying attention after you guys stopped paying attention in 2016.
I watched the game. How many people do you know that talk about that shot? How many people do you know?
Not many, but I don't know many people that talk about the Leitner shot either. Be like, college basketball, Christian Leitner.
Every year during the tournament it's on.
So is Chris Jenkins.
No, I don't think it is.
He just did it 20-something years later than Leitner, so you've got an unfair advantage.
An unfair advantage.
Yeah,
all right,
but showing the highlight longer.
All right, just take the L and move on.
Happy birthday to us.
Great to have you here. I appreciate you being part of our eighth birthday. Tausch, I don't know how to segue out of this one-sided argument. Like, even you know it's a bad argument when I have a strong opinion. Like, there's no hedge on this for me. So what I will do is segue out of this conversation by telling you, because I didn't see you on this, I got a voice message, not a voicemail, a voice message, which I don't know. Do you use this feature on your iPhone? I know you don't like big tech.
I don't.
But I got a message from Gina Della this morning. Like,
I was on that message with you. So, yeah.
And the level of excitement in her voice about breaking news for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And then there was some superfluous information that I'm not sure her son Austin wants us sharing. So I will just leave it at that. But the most important piece of that voice message, 0% interest for 60 months. It's back at Pella Windows.
Yeah, how many years is that? Because on my script here.
Five.
Oh, so instead of five, it's three. What's more powerful, 5 years or 60
months? 60 months.
I kind of agree. Okay.
We'll be celebrating our 13th birthday by then.
That is true. I didn't even think about that. So I got that voice message too. And you know what? How do you say welcome to your guests, whether you're bringing in Muskie on a boat out on an unnamed lake or if you're in Platteville? Or if you're just anywhere, well, you say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You say it with color. All those possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. But whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been telling y'all it's zero interest for 3 years, and I think everybody was excited about that. But Gina's enthusiasm this morning. That it's
charts.
Not just 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 years / 60 months. You get zero interest. And I'm telling you, interest rates, whoop, all this stuff going on out there. And Pella has come up with yet another home run deal for you. Zero interest, 60 months, no money down, and you get equal payments. But hurry up, get moving. We're not keeping this deal forever. It just got announced. You better move on it. It ends the end of this month. Certain restrictions do apply. Again, zero interest for five blanking years. Visit PellaWI.com today to get moving because it is coming. You got to get moving on it. What a deal Pella's got going.
I'm just not sure if you've been waiting to do your windows. Like if you're like, I don't know. Jason's dad jokes weren't very funny in that ad last month.
Boy, I thought that was a real good month, though.
I did, too. But now, if you were hesitating, stop hesitating. Now's the time. I'm a big fan of 0% interest. I can tell you that. I'm also a big fan of my basement. But I left it yesterday. Much to the surprise of many people. That's what I thought we were going to start the show with. Somehow we ended up on Christian Leitner's shots, which again is the beauty of this show.
Now they're texting in the Gordon Hayward shot if it would have gone in for Butler to beat
Duke. But
it
didn't go in.
But right. Chris Jenkins hit the same shot to win.
Chris Jenkins hit a pull up three that was designed beautifully by the coach. Jason's right, it's the coach that is memorable. The one that you're thinking of, and my brother Pat just sent me this. North Carolina State, but that was just a random, like, willy-nilly, I'm going to throw the ball up in the air, and a guy dunked it. That ain't that. I mean, not even in the same league. It's more about Jimmy Valvano running around like a lunatic looking to hug somebody. It ain't about hitting a shot, and guys laying on the floor can't believe that they made this great play. So there's nothing close. There's things that are barely adjacent. Nothing close to the Leitner shot. None.
The Bryce Drew for Valparaiso in 98 is closer to the...
They got knocked out in the sweep. You have to validate, and that's where at least Jesse's is a validator.
Sure.
This was the validator. This is what did it.
Yeah.
They didn't have another close game the rest of the way.
Right, they won the championship with a buzzer-beating three in a big football stadium. Confetti flying down. The old coach in the stands going crazy. They all went on to play in the NBA. It's one of the most iconic shots in college basketball history.
100% nice play. I can't argue with you on that. Not in the same world as Leitner.
It just isn't. But again, Jesse's going to die on this hill and ruin our birthday by continuing to debate this. I do want to get to the fact that I left my basement, because I feel like somewhere Tausch would have been smiling had I known that I actually did it. I'll tell you what I did and why I had a good time for the 82 minutes that I was out of my basement. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch, I know you're. This made it onto social media even, but you know I've really curtailed my usage. But Aaron Nagler, on the other hand, really enjoys the social media realm. He's an expert at it. So last night, every year, the Cheesehead TV guys have a gathering. Aaron Nagler, Corey Behnke. Corey's got this beautiful house that looks right across the street at Lambeau, right across Lombardi Avenue. The back of his house faces
What's
Lambeau Field. I can give that to you if you want to swing by later, but I'm not going to on the air.
No. I'm saying put it out over
there. He took me on a tour, and every year I say I'll try to make it, and I had never made it before. No. Well, even last night, you know, the gathering started at 7. This Alex Hale fellow, the latest kicker in the kicking derby, fascinating story. Like, grew up in Australia, played soccer, and did wake skating.
G'day, mate.
Hello. Oh, that's the wrong one. But so I was really excited to write this story. You know me. It's not quite Tausch at the Kentucky Derby. But it's those kinds of stories that make me love my writing, half of my job. And so it took me a while to get it done. I talked to John Carney, the longtime NFL kicker who's been training him, got him on the phone. So it was really, like, I really wanted to do a good job. So it took me a while. I didn't get over there till 8:30-ish. Stayed for an hour and change and then left. But
pretty good.
The house that Corey Behnke has, like, I'm not going to give his address, but if you ever get the opportunity, it's like going on a Lambeau Hall of Fame tour, except you don't go past my office. Like, he's got so much cool memorable. Like, if you're a Packers fan, you would be, because I was in awe, and I'm not a Packers fan. But there was such shock and awe that I showed up. What is that a sign of? Is that a sign that, first of all, everyone listens to the show? Because the first line out of everybody's mouth as I encountered them was, you got out of your basement. Tausch will be proud of you. So thank you to those who listen to this show. Secondly, though, like, the truth of the matter is this, and I don't mind that you give me a hard time constantly about it. I'm always 100 times out of 100 going to choose stuff with Paula and the girls over anything else. You know, without getting too morose, my family wasn't great. And I'm pretty motivated to make sure that our family is way better than the one that I grew up in. And I don't miss opportunities. So it's obnoxious, it's corny, it's Pollyanna-ish, whatever you want to call it. My children are not perfect, despite Tausch thinking that I think they are. But I am always going to choose them.
Yeah.
And they chose to go on vacation, so I was all by myself with all the animals. So I actually got out and spent some time with other humans. About 82 minutes. And then I went home. So are you proud?
Counted the minutes?
Well, I knew what time I got there, and I knew what time the clock said when I got into my car. So I knew how much time it was. I was not gone long. And I took the dogs with me. They sat in the car while I was in there. So I'm just curious, has my reputation gotten even worse because of you? Or do you think the guff I take is deserved because of how little I do outside of my cocoon?
Yeah, it's 100% deserved because, listen, I think all of us that are fortunate that have a wife and kids and have that in our life, we all do our best to do as much stuff
sure.
as you can.
Yep.
But you can't neglect the rest of your life. You can't, like, I don't think.
Well, you can.
And again, I'm not going to tell you how to parent, just like I don't want you telling me how to parent. But you don't have to go to Little Holly's hopscotch game. Like, you don't have to be at every hopscotch practice. You can let a kid breathe a little bit while you go hang out with your buddies for an hour and let your kids see that you have friends outside of your world. So I get it. I understand your dynamic.
Sounded a lot like telling me how to parent there.
You are not parent, just live.
Holly
but
hopscotch.
I think it is fantastic that you got out of your house for a moment, had some adult conversation instead of me sitting here on the video screen watching you talk to your cat because you just crave having some conversation outside of your kids. So,
she's a good
yes,
cat.
There's a balance of it. I know you're talking to your dog right now. There's a balance to it, but I was incredibly happy to see when Nagler put that picture of you two up on social thinking, hallelujah, maybe Will D will come up with some topic at Benke's house from all these Packer beat writers and bloggers and everything else. So, yes, I was excited to see that you did that. Yes.
I got to see the unofficial mayor of Green Bay, Kyle Cousineau, and Domofsky.
Oh, the Cous!
I didn't talk to Domofsky. He was there. Pete Doherty was there. Wes Hodkowitz was there. A few other luminaries. Wayne Larrivee. So it was fun. There were a lot of folks there. Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke were very gracious hosts. But it did get me thinking. Now, I don't want to move the camera, but I did come across this at a Goodwill recently. I have my own Mark Tauscher jersey for the first time in my life. I would not say that it is my most prized piece of Packers memorabilia. I actually put it on my chair in my studio. So I feel like I'm closer to you. But I was curious, did you get anything from your playing career? Because Corey's got, like, he's got a photo of the Lombardi sweep, and it is signed by everyone in the photo. I mean, I can't even imagine how much it's worth. He's got a trunk, like a steamer trunk, from the 1939 Packers that they used when they traveled, I assume by train, to road games. Like, the stuff that he has is insane. And I'm curious, do you have anything from and obviously for our fans as well, from a memorabilia standpoint that you would say, this is my most, like, I have one of Robin Yount's bats. That would be mine. Or the chair from County Stadium with Robin Yount's autograph on it. Those would be mine. What's yours?
Yeah. Well, Sabathia's pants.
You didn't return them?
No, I kept them. I got Sabathia's pants.
That feels like a part of the story that I would like to have known before now.
That'll be on exhibit in the Woodley Hall of Fame.
It will!
Exactly! I have a cool picture of me blocking Michael Strahan, autographed by Michael Strahan. That's a cool picture for me. But as far as memorabilia, I never got any game-used jerseys. I still don't know what the hell happened with that whole scenario. I'm not real happy about it.
I know you're not.
Been very honest over 8 years about that. But some of the old game cleats and some of the old game-used stuff that I have, that's the stuff that probably memorabilia-wise. But Sabathia's pants are top of my list.
Jesse, what about you?
Prince Fielder's bat. I got Prince Fielder's bat.
Did you use that while you were wearing... Sabathia's pants?
I used it to hit my home runs, and when after I hit him, I took the bat with me. Yeah.
So were these items given to you, or did you just leave
Prince's bat was given to me.
Okay.
Sabathia's pants. I didn't have anything else. I had to wear them out, or I don't remember what I even walked in with, but I was walking around the stadium in Sabathia's pants. I'm not going to walk around with no pants on. So
well, you didn't come to the stadium, though, in his pants.
Yeah, I don't know. again, I think things ran long, and then I had to, like, oh, the game is going on,
and
it was just good. It was a full confusing operation.
They just escorted you out, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't change back into my pants.
He lost the fancy he started with. The trade.
In honor of Benke's house, I think we should just ask, what's your favorite, our fans, on our 8th anniversary, what's your favorite piece of Packers memorabilia? Please send photo to get Jesse's engagement up on Instagram.
I was halfway through typing up that tweet, and Jesse will handle it on Facebook.
What's your favorite Packer piece of memorabilia?
So I have a football that I took when I was a little kid. We went to a training camp practice, and we went through the line of autographs, and it was a bunch of guys that maybe lasted a year or two or not even on the team. And then Brett Favre, it was like the one day out of camp that he would sit at the table and sign the autographs, and he was there too. And we weren't thinking, and we had him sign the football also. So I have this football that has a bunch of guys we've never heard of, defensive linemen and whatnot, from the 1998 Packers, and then Brett Favre front and center on the football. Not worth anything to anyone else because of all the other autographs on it, but to me it's like all these random things. I remember being at the – and then boom, there's Favre.
You should have told him that story when you had the chance to approach him at the AmFam Championship. That would have been pretty good.
No, he was scared. You wouldn't even go say hi to him.
Tausch, do you have any Tito's memorabilia that you're this proud of? Like maybe your
scarves and dog stuff. Tito's all over the place. Tito's handmade vodka after catching some muskies?
Pour me in
a Bloody Mary? Pour me in, Clussy / coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. And when it's the morning, stack a spicy Bloody Mary for your warm-up. If it's the afternoon, salt the rim of a Tito-Rita during halftime. Or you want to just take home the win with Tito's, just put anything in there. I love cranberry juice. That's for me. If you like soda, you know, water, squeeze a lemon, whatever it is, you're calling the game. You can change up your roster, wash that lucky jersey. Just make sure it's Tito's. That is your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com, crafted to be savored responsibly.
So I would certainly hope that Evan Cohen's favorite piece of sports memorabilia is not his own jersey that's framed behind him on Unsportsmanlike. I think that will not be his answer. We will ask him that. We will get that onto our social media channels so you can respond. I'm sure there's already people quote giving theirs in the YouTube comments. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out.
You hear him and see him, although not yesterday or today, on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm curious, is this like one of those Jesse Nelson, I'm not on the show, but I'm still working type deals? Or is
Are you comparing Evan Cohen's work ethic to Jesse Nelson's?
No, definitely not.
It seems like you kind of are, which...
No.
Just wait till we share our White Sox takes. Two peas in a pod over here.
Actually I was trying to give Jesse credit because there are days when we tease him for not being on the show, but at least allegedly he's working still, as opposed to taking time off, which all of us do from time to time, just some of us more than others. But if Evan is off, that's also remarkable that he's still joining our show when he's off. Evan, which is it?
Boy, Jason, there is a lot to digest off of that setup here. Tausch is right. How dare anyone compare my work ethic to that of Jesse? So I
was interrupted,
that.
In fairness to me.
And Jason was not, but I'm just saying. You know, happy 8th anniversary, first of all.
Thank you.
8-8, obviously, the 8th anniversary. So we got a lot of 8s involved here. I have ate too much during the course of that time, by the way. But here's what's happening right now. I have been fortunate for the better part of the last year to be a part of this show on a weekly basis. So I thought once you join the Wildy and Tao show, you're supposed to take more days off than you did previously. Isn't that how you instruct everybody to operate, Tao?
That does seem to be the case.
I do like, listen, man, I want well-balanced guests. I want well-balanced producers, well-balanced show hosts. So, yes, I'm glad that you're finally smelling the roses a little bit because you guys just had your one-year anniversary. Are you guys going to make it 8 years? I thought you did.
September 5th. September 5th.
Just a little early. Just an early happy birthday from Tausch.
11-month anniversary. My bad. Okay.
I sure as hell hope we're going to have 8 years. I hope we are going to have the same level of success as you guys have had. And I think that over the last, 11 months, we've certainly grown in a way that I feel great about it. I really do. And I know, actually, I don't want to out too much here about Tausch. But I know Tausch does as well because I've gotten a lot of positive feedback, Jason and Jesse, believe it or not. From one old T recently.
What do you mean, believe it or not?
With the development. Well, I mean, you are happy with the development of Unsportsmanlike. Are you not?
Yes, it is a fantastic show. Matter of fact, I was a little nervous because I woke up real early. I don't know how many days off you've had this week, but when I sent you that text, I was assuming something happened because you weren't on like a random Tuesday morning. Because yes, your show. It's a really good show. I've enjoyed it, and I think it's just getting better and better. So, and that's not to grease you up, because Lord knows that's the last thing I want to do. But it is your show has gotten – it's a very good show that you guys are putting together.
Well, thank you. And I will tell you, you're the welcome. Real reason I actually am off these few days, because my daughter got home from camp yesterday. My son gets home from camp in about an hour and a half today, so I did want to have the days with them. Okay. At least for the most part. I've already had like
you're morphing into Wildy right as we speak. You're morphing into Wildy right as we speak, which is I'm going to give you that as a compliment. All right. Do you have anything else? Because I want to get into this Christian Laettner shop because, you know, Evan and I are basketball experts.
You are.
Is there a more famous great shot?
How about the great part? How about the great part? Do you have anything else? I don't even get to speak. And then it gets into the Laettner thing.
It's remarkable.
I don't have anything else.
Hey, is there ever a better shot? I'm talking all of basketball,
iconic.
Not just college. The most iconic shot outside of maybe Jordan with Utah against the Jazz. Anything better than the Laettner play and shot in the Spectrum in 92-93 where the Hill pass and all of the things that go into it. Is there anything better in your basketball opinion than that?
So can I give you a weird answer on this?
And Chris Jenkins.
Yeah.
The Chris Jenkins one, we had him on Unsportsmanlike actually recently, or I hope it wasn't recently. I hope it was during the tournament now that I think about it. We did have him on recently. We had him on to talk about the fact that he was the only Villanova guy not on the Knicks. And
yes.
He left off the team. I forgot about that. So here's the thing, and I'm being dead serious. I think the most iconic shot in the history of sports didn't happen. I truly believe if Gordon Hayward hit the shot against Duke, it would have been the most iconic play any sport, any era ever in the history of sports. Because
I agree.
I think like you guys, and I know like Homer, who loves this, absolutely loves the movie Hoosiers, which is based off of a real story in the 1950s about a high school basketball team in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would have been real life college basketball Hoosiers. Now we learn later, okay, maybe they were a little bit more stacked at Butler than we realized with Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward and Shelvin Mack, who played in the NBA. Okay, we learn that now, but then Butler in the national championship game, and he had a half-court shot to win a title over Coach K and Duke. I believe, Tausch, that shot would have been more iconic than later. I really do.
Yeah, but it didn't go
yeah,
in.
But it didn't go in.
Yeah,
right.
That's great. That's great.
I know.
That's cute,
I understand
but it
that.
Didn't happen. Okay.
And Chris Jenkins took the shot, and it did go in.
Chris, Will you stop with the Chris Jenkins talk? Chris Jenkins, a nose guard for the Carolina Panthers back in the aughts.
Very good.
So okay.
Very good.
So you're
and Cullen,
you're
right?
Saying
brother,
this.
Didn't he play for the Packers?
Cullen's brother, great spin move, fantastic player in his own right, but that didn't happen. So I mean, I didn't ask you what maybe could have been and should have been.
No, I think the Jordan Byron Russell. The Jordan Byron Russell. Because
I would argue now, the Jordan versus Craig Elo is more memorable. It just was at a different time, and the timing of it was because it was the end of the era.
Final. Yeah. Well, I think that the reason the Jordan Byron Russell play was more memorable in recent years was because of obviously The Last Dance. And when we're talking about that season, and we have played out that season now as much as we have, or that era of Bulls basketball and basketball in general with Michael, I think that that shot has become even more iconic. I mean, you know, it didn't mean as much. The Kawhi shot, because of the amazing photography that took place, and like, if you just look at the bench and the faces on the bench, the Kawhi shot versus the Sixers is pretty remarkable also. But I think you're looking at Leitner, and I think you're looking at Jordan against Byron Russell. Chris Jenkins, Jesse, to be fair, we remember it because we are, the four of us, uber sports fans. I think 90% of the Wildy and Tash audience has no idea what you're talking about when you bring that up. They more so think of what
Cullen
just said.
Why would that be? Why does everyone know Leitner and no one knows Chris Jenkins when Jenkins won the national title with a buzzer beater?
Because Leitner was, at the time, the best player in college basketball. Leitner is one of the best college basketball players ever.
Musky fisherman.
And Leitner.
Too. Good musky fisherman.
Okay.
Well, he is.
And
that's how
and Leitner is a name.
That's how we started talking about it.
Yeah, he joined our show. He was one of the many guests that have joined over the 8 years. Here's the other thing. The degree of difficulty factors in to the game winner as well, and nothing against Chris Jenkins' game-winning shot, but it was largely, as Tausch said, a well-designed play that got him open for a three. A three-quarters court pass to win at the buzzer on Leitner's turnaround or Bryce Drew's three in the tournament, those they're just different, and I understand Jesse wants the national championship aspect to be part of this, but Evan, what we were trying to argue with him was the fact that the most memorable image of that game is Jay Wright not getting excited about the game-winning shot. Like, calmly...
What are we talking about right now? Why are we talking about this?
Well, we're trying to educate Jesse.
This is
musky fishing. Actually,
I am now going to take over Wilby and Couch on the 8th year anniversary of the show.
I guess we're not going to get to the memorabilia topic now.
Oh yeah, we do have to get to that. But Jason, we're going to do something different. We can postpone that. Here's what we're going to do. Neither of you can go more than 10 seconds on an answer. I am going to pepper you both with questions about the previous 8 years of Wilby and Couch. As a little bit of a mini retrospective, we're not on a huge blowout 10-year anniversary special yet, right? We're still in an 8-year thing, okay?
Definitely
so
not.
So here's what
years.
We got. All right. So I'm going to singular name most important non-fan partner teammate in the history of Wilby and Tausch. Tausch, go ahead.
This way, non-fan partner teammate. What does that mean?
Gina Della.
That's a partner and a fan.
I thought it was a non-fan.
So you're talking about throughout the 8 years of the show is what you're saying, right?
In other words, okay, let me just do it with the show that I grew up on, Mike and the Mad Dog, right, in New York.
I feel like this is going well.
It's horrible. The most important non-partner fan teammate that they would say, I know this because I've heard them talk about this, it's Pat Riley, because when we'd come on with them, it was so important for everybody. And Mike's wife, who when they weren't talking, the two of them, got them back together by inviting Chris to the wedding and all that. It was like the personal, like, there are important people involved in a show that really bring things. Like, I think my wife is a vital piece of unsportsmanlike being willing to house a hibachi party, right? That was a big moment.
Yeah, Sarah Tauscher for getting
Sarah Tauscher probably for getting Tausch on the air every day.
Okay, so there you go. All right.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers for Rodgers on our end. He provided a lot of content for seven and some change years. So Aaron Rodgers would be the answer for on my end.
Good answer. Guess you still haven't gotten that drives you crazy that you want to have on the show, Jason.
Bo Jackson. Tausch promised me him. He's never been on.
Tausch.
Yeah, the Bo Jackson one is good. I would say Justin Timberlake would be the one that I would say I'd like to get on.
Easy guess. You could probably get he and Demofsky as easily as Justin Timberlake. Okay.
I think we get J.C. Chazé.
Hold on. J.C. Chazé.
Thank you. I don't know if you should be proud enough of that knowledge or not.
All right. Next. You're going to have to name a name. Guests that came on that when they were done, you both said to each other, oh, that was one and done. We're not going to have that person on again.
Cindy Crawford. Oh, my God.
Interesting. All right.
Well, it wasn't her fault. It was ours. But it was. It is potentially the worst interview in the history of radio.
I have a few of those, Jason. I can challenge you on, I'm sure.
That's probably a fair, that's probably the right answer just because of the logistical things that happened.
The first Matt LaFleur interview was great too.
That was bad. Yeah, I was terrible
was
in that.
Our best. No.
He still gives me grief about that when I ask him to come on again.
Okay, next one here. The biggest professional bickering / fight the two of you have had was over what? That now you can laugh about.
Oh, that's easy for me. It's the Alex Lazary Senate campaign that Jason thought was a good topic. And I said, this is a stupid topic. What are you doing? And it was probably our worst. And we've had some other bad ones in 8 years. But that, for me, is the top of the list.
And by the way, let me just, before you answer, Jason, for the audience, as any good show will have, you need the professional bickering and fights to get from point A to point B because that's part of growth, obviously. So, Jason, Tausch took Alex Lazary's Senate run off the board. You're one that you want to go with?
That it's hard because that one is so far and away the correct answer, kind of like the Aaron Rodgers answer was. Like, all of these, we have had very few, like, authentic, like, where, well, maybe... From my perspective, I was very rarely pissed off at him. He may have been more pissed off more frequently at me, but that one ranks at number one. It's not even close, actually.
Okay. Next one here.
Do you have a rundown of these, or are you making these up as you go along?
He's got a notebook he's sifting through.
I'm doing these off the top of my head. I don't know.
His old show notes that we never had show meetings on. He's like, all right, what happened in 2018?
Oh, God, yeah, I have a few of those things, but I'm not going to do that now. Gosh. Okay, let's do this. The best event you guys ever did together. I know you guys spend a lot of time together outside of work, so I mean, I'm sure it's hard to narrow it down.
We do.
Tons.
Go ahead, Jason.
All right.
It's not to discourage any or disparage any other event.
No, but this sort of qualifies it as an event. But look, we did our fan appreciation party at Pottawatomie, which was great. I think tried to avoid Ron and the Key, or you met him when you were trying not to. There's some story behind that. But for me, it was when Mike McCarthy came over to the Tundra Trio. He was out of work.
And we couldn't get him to leave.
And I gave him expired creamer.
We're like, Mike, it's 1:30. It's 1 in the afternoon, dude. We've been off air for an hour. Time for you to hit the road.
Absolutely
true story.
For me, it was Jason walking into one of our great partners at Pella with these with a pair of old ratty gym shorts and open-toed sandals, just sitting there with his crusty old toenails
hanging out.
We're all looking like, what the hell are you doing?
All right, first of all, Oregon green. Second of all, I was going to change into real shoes and socks, but thank you. That was a memorable moment for you and for Gina. Do you have any other questions,
right,
Evan?
Of course I do. Come on now. What kind of person do you think I am? What is still left on the Wilby and Tausch to-do list before you get to year 10? Is there something specific you guys want to do in the next 2 years, let's say, before we would have theoretically a big 10-year anniversary special?
Yeah, I want to throw a Wilde and Tausch murder mystery party up at the Tundra Trio. That is something we're going to do before year 10. I was hoping to do it before. What do you mean?
Great,
I love murder mystery parties. I love a good murder mystery party.
It's like Clue.
And I want to have our fans, we're going to have like a nice little murder mystery. You do these dinner parties with murder mystery. That's what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, we're going to get that done.
Okay.
Well, first of all, as you well know, we're supposed to under-promise and over-deliver, but our problem is we have all these ideas and very few, if any, get executed. Jesse bowling until he gets a 300, me going to Lac La Belle and trying to break 200 following every golf rule in the book. But for me, the clear-cut answer is we're going to have our own Wilde and Tausch Fan Hall of Fame. I don't know if there'll be a brick and mortar location by year 10's birthday, but it is definitely in the works, and we're going to have inductions, and I don't know if we're going to have jackets. We're still fleshing out the details, but that will happen. That one will happen.
Okay.
Murder mystery, I'm not so sure
you get that done.
Okay, another one here. Wilde and Tausch, 8-year anniversary. It is Wilde and Tausch here in ESPN Wisconsin. Evan Cohen in for Wilde and Tausch, joined by Wilde and Tausch. Next one. The person that is a fan of your show that stopped you in the tracks and you realize, wow, that is pretty cool that they're a fan of this show, that they are like everybody else in the state of Wisconsin that's working a 9-to-5 or third shift or whatever it is, working hard for their money, and they're a fan of Wilde and Tausch, but maybe this person has more name notoriety.
Wait a minute. If you're going to ask that question, what prompts that? Who have you had that has been a fan of the shows you've done that stopped you in your tracks that they were fans of, whether it was Morning Men or now Unsportsman?
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. This is not my 8th-year anniversary. I mean, and plus, I don't have enough time, Jason, for that. There's so many. Come on. Come on, answer the question.
I don't know if we have famous fans? We have famous friends.
Well, one just texted us. So.
I would say Matt LaPay. I'm a big fan of Matt LaPay's and the fact that Matt LaPay. I'm gonna go Matt.
So I cautiously say this because all of us love Matt LaPay. Is that
but
like I don't? I feel like he was
is
looking
Matt LaPay
for someone
famous? Is that what you're
of slightly
up,
more
Jesse.
Renown.
Wow.
You coming at me?
Is Matt LaPay famous?
Wow,
Wilde,
what a jerk!
Wow.
Sheesh!
Wow!
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 Merchant, my fake father's good name.
Another good example of this working out well for me.
Put it up on the poll, Jesse. Is Matt LaPay famous?
Okay,
Jason?
Matt LaPay.
Okay. All right, and my last one.
Oh,
thank
God.
Celebrate the Wilde and Tausch anniversary. 8 years. I would like you both to say to each other, renewing your vows today, what you
God.
Love most about the other person. But we're not going to do this with just the two of you. We're going to do this in a round robin.
What is that?
Here's what's going to happen. Oh, you'll see. I'm going to have to say what I love most about Jason. Jason's going to have to say what he loves most about Tausch. And Tausch is going to have to say what he loves most about Jesse.
Oh, really?
And I don't have to say anything.
All right, I'll start.
No, Jesse. No. Tausch, I did it in the round. I did it in the order where it connects. Let me handle this, Tausch.
That's not how round robins work. I don't know if you know how round robins work.
I gave it a title. Will you please?
Okay.
And Jesse, Jesse, you
why
have
are
to
we
say
letting,
what you love
Why are
most
we letting
about.
Evan bully us on our anniversary today? He is bully balling us, and we're just taking it.
It's very, very
go
good.
Ahead.
And Jesse has to say what he loves most about working extra hours. Okay, so here we go. What I love most about Jason Wilby.
Good thing I go last.
Jason Wilby. There is no one that has a more respected Packers voice than Jason Wilby, and the more time he's on the radio with as many hosts as possible on our air helps us. That is what I love most about Jason Wilby. Now, Jason, you must say what you love most about Pesh.
I love how
30
brilliant...
30 seconds or less.
I'm sorry, what is my limit?
30 seconds or less. Jason, please follow the rules here.
Because we're very worried about the clock. It's great. You fit right
yeah, exactly.
in on this show with the clock
he's
management.
He's like McCarthy. We can't get him to leave.
I love the fact that he is absolutely brilliant, and he doesn't brag about how brilliant he is on the radio, but he is second only to Evan Cohen in terms of idea generation. But what I love most is that he has proven me right from my meeting with Evan Cohen and Craig Karmazin when they gave me the choice of anyone in the world to do a radio show with, and I picked him.
And Jason Wilby, what he loves most about Tausch seems to be what he loves most about himself. Tausch, over to you. What you love most that's, about Jesse.
That's not overly surprising. Jesse, it is easy. Not only his creativity with show topic ideas, and he'll execute when pushed, but his voices. The Bane voice is, I think, Jesse's best thing that he does.
And finally, Jesse, what is it that you love most about maybe working a 41-hour work week or a six-day work week? Go ahead, Jesse.
All in a day's work.
I love that when I work extra hours, it means that Jason and Tausch are dedicated to doing what's best for our fans, partners, and teammates. And I'm rather be working extra hours and being part of that with passionate people who care than the alternative.
That was even worse than my answer.
Digi-onlys.
Well,
that's what I like.
We said it all. That's it. I'm done. Goodbye, everybody. Happy anniversary.
Oh, wait.
What?
Did he really leave? We had one question we wanted to ask you. What is your proudest piece?
Well, you could have done that instead of Chris Jenkins or Christian Laettner.
Yeah, there's a lot of Villanova talk today.
What is your most prized piece of sports memorabilia?
Great question.
All right, let's see. Let's walk around my little office here. I have a picture of Jack Nicklaus and I with him autographing it to me for an event I did with him.
The bobblehead the minor
Jordan
league team had for you?
That was good. I have a Michael Jordan signed hat. I have a Tom Brady signed helmet. But I would say the most prized memorabilia are two tickets. Let's see here. What day is this? Saturday, July 11th, 2009. My wife, myself, and my grandfather, may he rest in peace, went to a Mets game, the three of us. It's framed, pictures, and the tickets from that game, and he died a year or so later. So, there you
it's
go.
A good one. I love it.
And that took us to a place that obviously crushed the mood yeah, here.
Way to finish strong.
Happy birthday to Wilde and Tausch.
Happy birthday, everybody.
And my ticket stub from Chris Jenkins' game-winning shot.
God. That was a very well-designed play, but let's talk about that never again.
Evan, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
Can't wait.
I can't either. I'm not sure what happened there exactly. We will regroup next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
Thanks to Evan Cohen for taking over our show.
Yeah, he ran the show there.
How did you think that went?
Interesting. I think he was really having a hard time understanding why we were talking about Chris Jenkins, and I have to admit, I agree with him. I didn't know Chris Jenkins until Jesse brought him up outside of the D tackle, and I thought afterwards it was fun.
It was. I just thought it was important for us to put Jesse in his place on it. Maybe we went a little bit too far. Jackrabbit Mama, many of you, Jackrabbit Mama included, sending us your...
Is she a Hoffer? She's in the Hoff conversation, right?
Great places, South Dakota.
She is without question in the conversation. But it's hard to get in, man. It's hard to get in. And there's some that have done more than others to this point. She did come to the studio in Milwaukee when we were there and stood outside the window and then got an invitation from you inside the window. And that was a rarity, for sure. But again, I'm not going to be influenced by anything as we go through this very respectable, authentic, ethical process of figuring out who donates the most money to charity to get in. All right, so we need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. Jesse, could you send something with even smaller fonts?
I was wondering how that was going to turn out. Too long of a text, Eric. He agrees with me on Chris Jenkins, though, so it was...
Well,
so you found a way to get him
so
the,
you say...
Get my magnifying glass out.
Okay. Well, Jesse can say what he wants about Chris Jenkins. I thought we had agreed we were done with that, but apparently not. I'll just tell you this. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. If you've been injured in an accident, and Lord knows, I hope you never are, but if you have been and need that representation, make that call. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour. Was Balaga here? Starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.